Hello, and welcome to show number 2546 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
If I were to give somebody advice on making accessibility labels, every single word matters, and the order of the words matter, and how many of them matters. I just obsess over collapsing them and rewording and reordering over and over and over again.
And we're always happy to see developers that take accessibility first in developing their apps.
On today's show, we'll be talking about Lengard, a new accessible horror fantasy role-playing game for iOS systems. Although the developers are fully sighted, the game was designed to be fully accessible from the ground up on day one. We'll talk with Justin Eng, co-founder of Sneaky Crab, about building Lengard for iOS with voiceover-first features, story-driven gameplay, and inclusive design inspired by lessons learned from their previously released award-winning game, Timecrest. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Justin Eng.
In our lives, we're often stalling, sprinting, holding off until we reach a better ending. But worrying about the ending makes us miss what's in front of us. Don't sprint to a finish line or stall for a better day. Be here now. Enjoy the small moments in a meal with your friends. Really take in the feelings when your daughter laughs. These small moments, they're not fillers. They're the meaning of life.
That's beautiful. Did you just make that up?
I wrote it just before we started because I knew you would have a tip of the week.
It sounds well thought out.
I thought that was going to be the preamble of your game.
I mean, it's the main theme of the game. I think that's something that people can keep in mind as they play it, as they try to make sense of this world and the ending.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Forsyth Entrepreneurial Center at the Chicago Lighthouse, whose 2025 Business Enterprise Competition will provide one blind entrepreneur with up to $25,000 in seed money and a plan to turn their business idea into reality. For more information, visit www.chicagolighthouse.org/FEC.
And by
Ira, providing professional visual interpreters to the blind and low vision community through smartphone and web apps. More information at www.ira.io. Ira believes that access is a human right.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Justin and learn how he got started focusing on accessibility.
Sometimes it's okay to just sit back and have some fun, and today's guest is just the person to talk to about that. We've had him on the show before, and I love the name of your company, Sneaky Crab. So Justin, maybe you can introduce yourself and tell us what Sneaky Crab does.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on again, Nancy and Pete. I'm Justin Ng, part of a two-person team with my business partner and wife, Lisa Gu. Together, we formed Sneaky Crab. We make story-based fantasy games on iOS that we aim to be delightfully accessible to sighted and blind users alike.
But you're both sighted. How did you get into making games for people who are not?
Yeah, so when we started out, we made a pretty popular game called Timecrest. It won a variety of accessibility awards. But when we first made it, it originally wasn't designed to be accessible, sadly. And we actually got feedback from the community saying, hey, we really love that your game is accessible, but you have a few bugs here and there. And that was really surprising to us. It was embarrassing, actually, because we originally hadn't designed for that. And at that moment, we decided everything that we did had to be accessible. We actually rewrote Timecrest to be accessible from the ground up. We actually did a full rewrite and redesign of the game. And in the new game that I'm going to talk about today, Lengard, we actually had the opportunity to have a fresh start and actually design a brand new app from the ground up to be accessible.
Wouldn't it be nice if the rest of the world did that?
I totally agree.
It certainly is a lot easier to include accessibility from the get-go, because if you try to patch it on after the product launches, it's a lot more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way that you approach it when you understand how the accessibility tools work, we work with VoiceOver and we personally test the game completely with VoiceOver. And now, since we've become experienced with it, in the design phase, as I'm thinking through how the UI is going to be laid out, I'm already thinking about, you know, what's the order? How is the VoiceOver cursor going to go over each element? What labels is it going to read? And that even changes, you know, before I lay down a single line of code, how I approach the design of the game.
That is terrific.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Lengard, an iOS horror fantasy game that was designed to be fully accessible from the ground up on day one.
Well, Justin, we talked with you a while back about your game, Timecrest, and today we want to focus on your new game, Lengard. But tell us a little bit about Timecrest first.
Absolutely, yeah. So Timecrest is a fantasy game that we made that is kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure style where you can essentially have almost like a conversation with the main character, Ash, and actually build a connection and through your conversations with Ash, learn about this fantasy world and explore it and have adventures and meet lots of new characters, see magical spells, and just have a wonderful time connecting with characters and experiencing a story where you are a character in not just a character, but the main character in Timecrest.
And I would guess at some point, because that was such a popular game, it's tempting to add on new parts to the app and the story and different adventures one can partake in. But I guess you decided to come up with another game instead, Lengard. What made you make that decision?
Yeah, so actually what motivated it was me and Lisa having a hard time in life, actually. We had a baby together during COVID, and that time and life since has been challenging, running a business, making ends meet. The prices of everything in the stores keep going up. We hear about how hard the job market is for our friends, people getting laid off. It brought up a lot of thoughts about sort of the meaning of life and how we could get through each day in a difficult and sometimes hopeless seeming world. How do you survive and see it through for yourself and those that you love? So Lisa wrote Lengard as a reflection of us trying to make sense of our life during this time. And so Lengard's a very different type of story from Timecrest. It's a horror tale. It's a tale where the characters are searching for meaning in a brutal world filled with literal monsters that are the size of skyscrapers.
That sounds like fun.
It's fun and it's scary. This is a mature story. We explicitly set it to be rated 18+ in the App Store because we wanted to represent a cruel, difficult world where horrible things happen. Not everyone gets what they deserve. And so there are a lot of mature themes and violence necessary to sort of evoke the feel that we're going for. So up front, a quick warning to your listeners, this may not be for everyone. You know, if you're looking for something that is a little bit of a lighter tale, maybe try Timecrest. But if you're up for something a little bit darker, you'll actually find a little bit of light in this story, but there is a lot of darkness around it.
You know, it's funny, when you first described about the difficult times during COVID and in your own lives and writing a new game, I thought you were going to opt for some kind of uplifting game that was going to say, well, the world really is wonderful, despite the fact that the real world is kind of tough. So it's interesting you made this decision to make a challenging world.
Yeah, because I think as we were trying to figure out what to do in our own lives, we realized that there is a lot of things day to day that are out of your control in life, right? Like, I mean, as an individual, it's really hard to affect if you can afford what grocery, how much groceries cost in the store. So what does that mean, right? And so that's why this is a story about smaller moments. This is a story about what does it mean to survive in a hard world. And so that's why one of the core ideas is you as the player have this ability to bless people in this world. You'll meet four characters in it, and you can give them gifts, and you can sort of give them a little bit of light in a dark world.
Oh, so there is a very positive aspect to this in some sense. And I guess by overcoming some of the darker aspects of life in the game, it's sort of a good thing because you can do some nice things.
That's right.
Give us a little bit more flavor of what the game's about. You talked about the four characters. What kind of scenarios do you set up? What should people expect?
Yeah, so you first can start out by thinking that it's a little bit like an ebook, but Lengard is more than just an ebook. You're a part of the story. And so it's the self-contained adventure on the iPhone. It's a horror fantasy where you have become a magical entity known as an Eon, able to bless four strangers with wondrous and coveted gifts in a cold and rainy world with these vicious monsters known as Arcs. And so the universe works in mysterious ways, and it's brought you here to this world called Lengard for a reason. You are a magical being who can bless people, and you'll meet these four strangers who seem randomly thrown together. And you might find a favorite person you like within them, or decide some of them aren't worthy of your blessings. But nothing good comes for free, especially not in Lengard. And so in return for these gifts, they're tasked with reaching this mysterious place called the White Veil. In this really sort of dark world where few people live beyond the age of 30, the people that you bless will hope that the veil is their ticket out of this cruel place, but they don't really know what's there. Does something sinister await?
So are you going through these challenges with the characters? Are you mostly directing them and blessing them along the way, guiding them?
Yeah, so you play more of a role where it's a little bit more hands-off. It's a little bit different from Timecrest. In Timecrest, you are actually having direct interactions with the characters and almost having conversations with them. In this story, you play this sort of more overarching role, where you kind of oversee everything that's happening. And while you don't interact as much with them at critical points, you are able to give them these blessings that will change how sort of each day goes for the characters.
And then it sounds like they can make their own decisions along the way with the blessing that you give them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, without getting into spoiling too much of what happens, you can think of these as these blessings are a little bit of light that you can give people in a dark world. It is, you know, the day to day is very tough to survive, but you can give them something that makes the days go by a little bit better.
So I assume that you have instructions somewhere in this game to tell people how to do it. I confess I've never played a role-playing game. Can you just give kind of a quick getting started idea of, as a player, what do you actually do to play the game?
Well, then I'll tell you that I think Lengard is a great entry point. It is actually much simpler than Timecrest, that has all sorts of role-playing features and inventories and stores and spells. In this version, you can think of it almost like reading an ebook. It's just that from time to time, you will be prompted with a question. Who do you want to bless, for example, or out of a few options, what do you want to say? But after you have that influence on the world and the story, then you can just sit back in your favorite reading chair and just let the story unfold like you would a really good book.
And then it prompts you and you make some other decision and it branches into whatever you've indicated that you want it to do.
Absolutely, yes.
It sounds like one of those ebooks that you used to see some time ago. I don't know if they still make them, where you'd read to the end of a certain page and they say, okay, either jump to page 35 or page 102.
That's a really good analogy. Yeah, yeah. It works a little bit like that.
Well, that sounds like fun. What might be a typical challenge? You talk about this as being a dark world and rainy and cloudy. Can you give an example of a challenge that someone might have to overcome just to give people a little bit more concrete idea of what's involved?
Well, yeah, I think that as these characters sort of learn the rules of this blessing, right? So there's an event that happens where a couple of people who don't know each other. So you have 14-year-old Lengard Valdor, who has wind-based magic. You have 41-year-old Victor Randall, who has illusion-based magic. And you have 13-year-old Rella, who has water-based magic. And so the three of them suddenly end up together blessed, and they start to learn that they have a goal of reaching this place called the White Veil. Now, obviously, a lot is a mystery. They don't know why they have to go there. They don't know what will happen. But they do know that suddenly there is a giant arc named Zolom that just appears and seems to be targeting them. And so they have to figure out how to survive, even though, you know, this thing is the size of a skyscraper and they are just people sized. And how, you know, against those overwhelming odds, what decisions can they make? What can they do in order to survive the day?
I guess things like that do happen in life. You just have something that seems to oppose you out of the blue for no real good reason, but it just happens and you have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you put together a game like this? When you start out, you must have some concept. Do you actually write a book or a script, or what's the process that goes on?
I think that our process changes because it's just the two of us. And so I think as we approach each project, there isn't a strict set of guidelines that we follow. There isn't a formula. For this one, creatively, there was just a lot of ideas and story in Lisa's head about how, you know, every day we have coffee together and we talk about what we're going to do at work and what we're going to do in life. And as we did this, we started to realize something. We started to realize that in a hard world, it's moments like this coffee time that we have together. It's times like when we hear our kid laugh that really make up what it means to live out each day, that it almost doesn't matter where it's all going. It doesn't matter how big the challenges are in front of us. And we needed to stop thinking about the future, thinking about where it's all going, and focus on the pleasures that are in each day. And so creatively, when we had this big sort of explosive idea in force of, you know, this became a story, this became characters and everything, then around that, we built an app. And so we made TimeCrest, so there's a lot of sort of ideas that relate to that world in a lot of ways that, you know, we're storytellers and we have an app and we have code. So we tried to reuse as much as we could. And we brought over a lot of features from TimeCrest, accessibility features, for example. But all of that is just ornamentation around sort of this core idea and just figuring out how do we get this made.
So you have these ideas. Do you sort of write little chapters and kind of knit them together in code?
In the most mundane possible way, there's a Google Doc and Lisa starts writing and seeing where it ends up. I think that in TimeCrest, we had written three versions of it, TimeCrest 1, 2, and 3, 15 chapters. There's a spreadsheet and there's sort of a way that Lisa just sort of writes chapter by chapter. I think for this one, she experimented with a few different ideas. I think she even wrote out like a couple of other story ideas before landing on this one as the way to sort of express creatively what she wanted to do, and found that this one was less of a conversation with the character and a little bit more of, you know, you have a few choices, but they were very impactful. And so this ended up being a little bit closer to the how you would write a novel, I'd say, right? And a very long novel. I think we have 160,000 words, so it's maybe 2 to 3 novels in length.
Wow.
So you are getting a lot of good content, but nevertheless, I'd say it's closer to writing a novel with a bunch of branches and choices.
Well, it sounds very intriguing. So talk a little bit about what thoughts go into making this accessible. You said you started from the ground up. What kind of things are you particularly concerned about?
Yeah, so I spend a lot of time thinking about accessibility labels. Let me take you through almost like a case study. Right? There's this one piece of UI in Lengard that I rewrote 3 times. Kind of in the header of the game, there's this story progression bar. And in the story progression bar, there's about 10 milestones in the game, and we wanted to describe how far you'd gotten through the game and different icons representing different choices that you had made. You know, if you bless Rella or if you blessed Lengard, that you'd see a different icon in there. And so this bar, I had kind of imagined at first, like, okay, so there's 10 milestones. So, you know, I want to make sure that it's fully accessible. So for each of these 10 little circles that appear on the screen, you move the voiceover cursor over each one, and you're going to get this like very detailed label for each one. We have an amazing beta reader named Bennett, fully blind, and gives us incredible feedback on the accessibility choices we made in the game. And he came back and said, yeah, I know exactly what's going on, but every time I want to read the next page, I don't want to go through 10 elements. I don't want to swipe through 10 different elements just to get to the content, right? So I had realized that a big mistake we made in this is it's too hard to get to the main content. And just because it's detailed, just because you can have every element, it can be really annoying to have to go over one after another in order to navigate through it. So in the first rewrite, I actually collapsed that into one label and rewrote the code so that instead of every circle getting an element, the whole bar gets a single label. And there are a lot of things that go into writing that label. I actually have a tremendous amount of code that is looking at so many different scenarios and trying to use the fewest number of words to represent what is happening on that bar. And not only that, I learned quickly that the first few words that you say are essential. Nobody wants to listen to a really, really long label to get to the piece of information that's, you know, far in the description, right? Sometimes there's a lot of complicated things we have to describe in the accessibility label. And so getting the key information to the first few words so they can hear the part that they wanted and then swipe on and move on to the next one. So I'd say if I were to give somebody advice on making accessibility labels, like every single word matters and the order of the words matter and how many of them matters. So I just obsess over collapsing them and rewording and reordering over and over and over again.
I must say that is very insightful. In fact, I just gave a developer exactly that advice when their app was giving me some words that I thought were extraneous, and it just took up time. Just tell me what you're going to tell me in the minimal amount of words that conveys the important information.
He gives me that advice too. All the time. But in particular, you know, we post an image with every episode and I write the alt text because I can see the image. And I keep getting that advice, you know, tell me up front the important stuff. And then if there's anything else that someone else might want to know about, put that at the end.
The other point you sort of implied with the amount of flicking around and moving from element to element that your tester had to do is that, and we talk about this lots on the show, just because an app or a program is accessible doesn't mean it's actually functionally usable and efficient to use by a person who is visually impaired. So just because you can find everything on the screen, if it's a pain to get there, that's not fun.
Absolutely, yeah.
I admire your thoughts in thinking about that UI and modifying some of those things that are a little bit more subtle in terms of accessibility.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that it's a very common mistake that sighted people can make. It feels like it's done when you've described it. It feels like the label's done when I've said everything that there is. You can experience everything now. That doesn't make it easy. That doesn't make it fun. And so, yeah, I think that that's a point that we keep coming back to and we keep relearning again and again as we get feedback.
So, Justin, I'm almost afraid to ask this, but have you ever played the game blindfolded?
Yes, it's actually really important for us. We started this with Timecrest. We did this with Lengard. We turn on Screen Curtain and test and play the game completely with voiceover accessibility. If you're not experiencing it like that, you're going to be making cheats. If you're a sighted person trying to make an accessible game, if you can use your eyes, you're cheating. If you can feel how annoying it is to swipe over 10 elements or run your finger along the screen and not be able to find something, that's when you're going to make the breakthroughs in the UI.
Now that you have a young child, have you considered writing one of these role-playing games for children?
You know, that's a really great idea. She's just learning to read now. She's learning the letters of the alphabet. And learning simple words to read, like she and her. She's so proud when she can read a new word. So I think she's just getting to the age where, yeah, we should really start thinking about something like that. I think that's a great idea.
This should be another popular game for people who are visually impaired and easy to play. And I admire your dedication to making this accessible and fun to use for people who can't see the screen or have to use it in different ways.
Yes, thank you.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Lengard and Timecrest, how to get the games, and how to contact Justin Eng and Lisa Gu, the team that created them.
Well, Justin, if people want to know more about the various games you've put out, remind people what they are and where they can be found.
Yeah, so we made Timecrest. It's a free-to-play game, so anyone can download it and try it out. And so if you want a quick and easy way to get into what we're doing, definitely try out Timecrest. And Lengard, that we've been talking about this episode, is a brand new app, and you can try it in the App Store. It sells as a full paid app, but then you get the full adventure with, you know, nothing blocking you. You can get everything from beginning to end, a whole 160,000 word saga. We are selling it for $12.99 in the App Store.
And your company itself that makes these is called Sneaky Crab. Is there a website for that?
Absolutely. You can go to sneakycrab.com, SneakyCrab.com. You can go to sneakycrab.com/Lengard, LENGUARD. And you can always search for us on X, Twitter. Look for Timecrest, and we'll post all the updates for whether it's Timecrest or Lengard or anything else we're doing on our Twitter account.
And if people had feedback for you or questions?
Yeah, definitely. You can always email us at support@sneakycrab.com. And we'll probably it'll be me or Lisa responding to it. So it's just the two of us. You'll get one of us, and we'll definitely love to hear any feedback you have.
And of course, you can find all of that information in the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2546. We'll also have a link to the previous episode in which we talked about their Timecrest game.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about InnoSearch, which is quickly expanding its suite of accessible services for blind users. We'll talk with co-founder and CEO Patrick Long about new tools like voice-based shopping, travel booking, the CoBrowse AI agent, and accessible storefronts, all of them part of a fast-moving effort to make online platforms easier for everyone to use, especially people with vision loss.
Their pace of development has been incredible, so you'll certainly want to hear that show. And now that we have CoBrowse integrated onto the Eyes on Success site, you might also want to check that out and try it.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.